announcing to everyone that Jesus is Lord and Christ. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
For tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. As always, we are grateful if you're tuning in throughout the continent of Africa, the U.S., Canada, worldwide online. We are so grateful you've taken time out of your day to tune into the program. You, of course, can visit us and find us at agradio.org, agradio.org. The number is 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. We are also on Facebook and on Twitter at agradio1. On that website are resources, blog posts, ways you can interact with us and support us there too at agradio.org, which helps us to take the gospel, right, Scott, to the continent of Africa. I don't know. I just get giddy about that. Just think that we're omnidirectional. Transmitter is sitting in Zambia, yep. And it hits all throughout shortwave radio, even over into India, which is I just found out recently. We had a listener from India who picked up the broadcast.
Shortwave is amazing. We don't do a lot with it. It's sort of a hobbyist thing in North America, but in other parts of the world, this is the way that people listen to the radio, and so it's extraordinary the power that you have with a shortwave transmitter. Omnidirectional means it goes everywhere. So it comes off the tower and it goes off in a circle instead of going off in a straight line. And it's just blasting the gospel all across the continent of Africa. So people tuning on their radios, right, just the way we do, tuning on their shortwave radios, because all the radios there have a shortwave band on them. All right, that's common in Europe and Africa and elsewhere.
So it basically goes up and bounces back, right?
Well, it does that too. No, but it's coming right off the tower and going in a big circle. But because of the kind of signal it is, sure, it can hit the clouds,
right.
And then it can skip, it can bounce. And
right,
when
right.
it does that, it can go anywhere. It might be possible, if you knew where to tune, that to even get it in North America with a skip.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really remarkable. So,
and we're thankful for our AM stations, our FM stations here in North America,
right?
So,
right.
That are carrying the broadcast and getting the word out.
Well, it's always good to have the doctor, R. Scott Clark. I had a guy at the other day say, "Hey, I really like that Dr. Scott guy on the radio."
So. Not that kind of a doctor.
You're not a medical doctor.
I have medical opinions, but I have no actual medical knowledge. In our circles, when you say the doctor, of course, we think of Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones,
right.
Who actually was a physician who became a pastor. So I'm not that doctor either. But as my friend Bob Godfrey says, I'm not the kind of doctor who can do anyone any good.
All right. Well, I won't comment. But we probably should talk a little bit more about Romans.
We should.
We've made some good progress here through this book. I'm really enjoying the discussions. And we're thankful for your feedback. We get good feedback from you. That helps us to be energized about this.
We get it on the web. We get it through agradio.org. You can comment on the blog. The AGR Live blog. You can interact with us on Twitter at AGRadio1. We get lots of feedback there. People say, "Hey, do this, do that." You know, talk a little bit more about this or that. So, and you can subscribe through the podcast feed. Right, we give you instructions how to do that on the web, and you can use our free podcast app. We have the Android app, and we have the Apple, the iOS app. So
to summarize where we've been, we've covered a lot of territory. What I've tried to do on the program is tell everyone how bad Scott Clark is, how bad his heart is. I've offended him in many ways. I've hurt his feelings.
Yeah.
But
no,
you know,
just
Scott,
telling the truth.
I'm telling the truth, and this is
that's why you get paid the big bucks to tell the truth. So
this is the goal here, not to hurt your feelings, but this is the goal to
show. That's just a byproduct.
I don't care. But no, seriously, our goal is here to show what Romans is doing in agreement, full agreement with the testimony of Scripture, with God's verdict right, of the human heart, of what's happened to the human race, of what has happened since Adam, the fall of Adam, that we are all dead in trespasses and sins. And sin is this big of a problem. It's not just a mistake. You know, we've had people today who've tried to say this is just a mistake, it's an error. No, sin is much more serious, because as God defines it, it's a breaking of his holy law.
It's death, right? Sin, right. Sin is, doesn't lead just to a wound or illness or unfortunate things. It leads to death, because sin is lawlessness by definition. That's what the Apostle John says. That is a quote from the Apostle John. Sin is lawlessness. It's transgression of the law of God, any want of conformity unto the law of God, to use the language of the Westminster Shorter Catechism. And when we violate God's law, when we violated God's law in the garden, we brought about death. And that's, of course, what the Lord said. The day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. He didn't say the day you eat thereof, you know, it'll be a bad day, but tomorrow will be a new day. Right. No, he said the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And sin brought death and condemnation and judgment. And grace, God's favor, is the remedy for that. It's the antithesis. God is gracious. He is favorable towards sinners for the sake of Jesus Christ. Christ came and did. Christ obeyed. Christ was righteous. And his righteousness, his active obedience, his suffering obedience, we could talk about his actively suffering obedience, was for us. He came and obeyed for all of his people, and all of his righteousness is credited to all of his people, and it's received through faith. And that's, of course, what Paul says in Romans 4:10. How was it credited? Right? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, he says, but while uncircumcised. And Paul's point is that Abraham hadn't done anything. Abraham hadn't prepared himself. He hadn't, he hadn't even been circumcised yet. There wasn't anything he could point to say, look, I did this and now I'm worthy of that. God came and chose, called, regenerated, gave new life and true faith to a Gentile sinner. Which is, in this context, that's Paul's point, that the first believer relative to the Abrahamic covenant was, in fact, a Gentile who became a Jew, verse 11, Romans 4:11, and he, that's Abraham, received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of faith, or by faith, which he had while uncircumcised.
Right. So just to sort of set the context here, where we were last time was that what Paul's doing is he has presented the gospel to us in Romans 3. He's announced this righteousness that is made available to us by faith that Scott just articulated so well, the righteousness of Jesus. But then he's really helping people who struggle with, you know, there has to be something still that makes me worthy of this. There has to be some reason for boasting. In other words, it's still the basic problem that we find today in people that we've talked about the whole time going through this series, Scott, that people still, at the end of the day, when they stand before God, think they're going to be able to say, I've done something. I've lived a good moral life. I've done enough. The good has outweighed the bad to please God. And Paul is going right after that the whole way here. And he's using two figures in Romans chapter 4 to really go after the Jewish view that, listen, look at Father Abraham and look at great King David. These were model figures. These were great people. They put their trust in these figures. We know that in many ways the Jews trusted in Abraham himself. And Paul is really unraveling that and showing us the testimony and the record of what they learned about themselves. That is so important. What in the course of their lives did they learn? What did you say last time, Scott, that was so helpful? That we have two things we need to know. Well, three things, but the first two are very important, right? You have to know your sin and your misery. And there are two types of people in the world, those who know their sin and misery and those who do not. And those who know their sin and misery then are going to ask the right questions about the remedy for their sin and misery. And that's what Paul's doing here. He's saying, listen, what did Abraham learn, our forefather, according to the flesh? He wasn't justified by his works because his works were bad. He learned the same thing we're learning here, that by faith you are justified. that is counted to his righteousness, not your faith, but Christ's righteousness, his perfect, like you said, active and passive obedience. Now, why are we talking though still about this, you know, we're weird, Scott. We're talking about circumcision. Come on. This is odd. It's 2019. This issue keeps coming up in Romans, and you know, I have to admit, when I preach it, I feel like if anyone walked in off the streets, they would say, "What an odd bunch. They're talking about something that makes no sense." Now, let's come back at this for a minute. You just said something very important in verse...
Everything I said. go ahead.
I have thoughts, but I'll restrain myself. All right, verse 11. He received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. You could interject many things in that place for circumcision there.
Oh, yeah.
But for the Jews, this was the issue, right?
What God had done is what he was about to do, if we're going back to Abraham, is to institute a sign and a seal of God's grace and favor. And of course, what happened over time, particularly by the time you get to the New Testament, but even before, there had developed a group of people among the Jews who thought of circumcision not merely as a sign and a seal, but as righteousness itself. They had transferred the righteousness, which is by grace alone, that is by divine favor alone, free favor alone, through faith alone, that is through resting, receiving, trusting in Jesus. They had transferred that righteousness from Christ, as it were, to the sign of circumcision. And they put great stock in the act of circumcision. And so Paul here is reminding everyone, listen, circumcision is a sign, not the thing itself. It's not righteousness itself. And it's a seal. That is, it's a promise. It's a guarantee. But it isn't the righteousness itself. So if you have a serious document, that document is a sign. If you have a mortgage for a house, that mortgage is a sign. It's not the house itself. And if it's notarized, then it has a seal. And it says this is a genuine document, right? But you don't live in the mortgage papers. You live in the house. And that's the difference between the sign and seal on the one hand and the thing itself on the other. And that's the point that Paul's making here, that Abraham had the thing itself, not by virtue of being circumcised. Right? To you Judaizers, quit putting your confidence in your circumcision, because your circumcision doesn't save you. Your baptism doesn't save you. You're walking the aisle, right? Praying the prayer, signing the card. If you went to a revival and you came down out of the stadium steps and you came forward and you knelt down and you prayed a prayer, that might all be well and good. But if that prayer was not accompanied by faith, true faith, resting in Jesus, trusting in Jesus and in his person and finished work, then walking the aisles, signing the card, or being circumcised or being baptized, it doesn't save you.
I think this is such an important point, because now we're really connecting this to modern thought, right?
Or I'm involved in this social project.
Right.
I feed the homeless.
Yeah.
If you don't love Jesus, if you haven't trusted in Jesus as your substitute, you can feed the homeless till you're blue in the face. It will not save you. Building houses for people will not save you. Only Jesus saves.
Right. This is what I mean, this goes back. If we're looking at this, okay, so you have the Jews, the issue with circumcision. Some people in our day put their trust in baptism. We've addressed that. We've gone after it. It's the same thing. But it doesn't have to necessarily be a sacrament, doesn't it? You just made a really important point. I mean, I've been at revival.
Once again.
Should I stop saying that?
Carry on.
I've been to revivalistic crusades.
Yeah.
I've been to these things. I've seen what happens. And what bothers me is the speech I hear afterward. Well, this was the day that I decided, that I made the decision, that I said the sinner's prayer, that I did this, that I did. This is all going back, time, you can trace this back to Finney, right? He put the anxious bench up in front of the church.
Yeah.
And he believed, of course, that,
The tent.
The tent, right.
The revival tent. And listen, we are not saying, Pastor Chris is not saying, Scott Clark is not saying that people are not actually coming to faith in these things.
Right,
and,
right.
And even if someone says, this is when I believed and so forth, fine. We're grateful if people, and we know people who've come to faith through what we would regard as sort of extraordinary new measures, right?
But it's not those acts. It's not that exactly. that creates faith
no,
in you. It's not your choice. That's what we're saying.
Yes. You did consciously make a decision, but why did you make the decision?
Right.
You made the decision because God the Holy Spirit opened your eyes, opened your ears, softened your heart, gave you a new mind. He gave you new life and true faith. So yes, you did believe, but you believed because God loved you and knew you and chose you and sovereignly worked in your heart. So you need not to be looking at what you did. You need not to be looking at your coming forward or your getting baptized, right? Baptism should be pointing you to Christ, right?
Right,
that's the message of baptism.
Right. And think of Nicodemus in this context where, you know, Nicodemus was a circumcised man as a Jew.
Yeah.
And Jesus comes to him and says, what? You need to be born again, Nicodemus.
And there was nothing wrong with circumcision, right?
Right.
He was the right in that.
Right.
In that covenant, he was still under the old covenant. It was the right thing to do.
But it's what it pointed to.
But
that
it, didn't,
Nicodemus,
it didn't regenerate him.
Yeah, it didn't regenerate him. So Nicodemus is told, listen, the Holy Spirit has to do something in your heart first.
Yeah.
This is why we always say regeneration precedes faith. The Lord has to give you life before you're going to believe the gospel.
Yeah, it's not like... you know, Nicodemus had everything within him that God had, as the Arminians and Remonstrants say, had given him common grace. It's not as if Jesus was saying to Nicodemus, well, God has done his part. He's made it possible. He's given you all of these resources, and you just need to capitalize on these things and make the free choice to believe. No, he looked right at Nicodemus and said to him, you need to be born either or both. From above or
right.
again. The word can mean either thing, and probably in that context, it means both things simultaneously, something that John does and something our Lord does. So Jesus looks right at him and says, you have a fundamental spiritual problem. You need to be born again. And this is what Paul is saying here in Romans 4, that God gave Abraham new life and true faith.
And it was nothing in our power is the point.
Abraham was dead in sins and trespasses in Ur of the Chaldees. He was just toddling along, living his Ur of the Chaldean life, right? Doing what people did in Ur of the Chaldees. Wasn't looking for God, wasn't searching, wasn't on his way, wasn't preparing himself. God just, and you have to appreciate this, listener, God sovereignly, powerfully, freely, mysteriously, wonderfully reached out into Abraham's heart, life, and mind and gave him new life and true faith and says, Abraham, come here. I'm going to make you the father of many nations.
So what we've done here, what Paul has done, is strip away everything, you know, and this is where we always want to interject the but, right? All of it's gone. All of it's gone. All of it is a free gift. All of it's a free gift. All of it is something that the Lord has given us to embrace Christ, to trust in Christ. It is true faith. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. And the only way we come to Christ is by faith alone, which is a gift of God, all by grace. So that's what he's making the point here. But he's really pressing us with that.
Yeah.
Which I really am so thankful because he's pressing Jew and Gentile together with this truth. In other words, if the Judaizers and the Jews are putting their confidence in their nationality, their race, their circumcision, all of that, he comes to the Gentiles. What confidence do they have in what would Gentiles have confidence in?
Yeah, they've got no outward sign.
They have no outward sign. And this is the point he's making here, is that together nobody has any benefit. Nobody has any way of being righteous before God on their own.
Abraham
right?
received the sign, this is Romans 4:11, of circumcision as a seal. That's a guarantee. It didn't confer it. It did guarantee it. Of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. That is, while he was still a Gentile. The purpose was, this is where Paul is getting to the problem of Jews and Gentiles that we've been talking about. What to do about the integration of Gentiles into the congregation where there are Jews. The purpose was to make him the father of all who believe without being circumcised. That is, the father of all Gentile believers. So, and we'll stop there for just a second. Now, listener, chances are, and we've said this before, statistically, the likelihood is you are a Gentile. And Paul just said that Abraham, if you believe in Jesus, right, by his grace, Abraham is your father. And I want you to say this right now to yourself.
I used to sing this as a kid. Father Abraham.
Come on,
do it, do it. Father Abraham had many sons.
Yes.
Okay. I didn't really expect you to do that.
As you're driving, whatever you're doing, washing the dishes, right, paperwork, looking at Twitter, looking at AG Radio 1 on Twitter, whatever you're doing, I want you to stop and say to yourself, Abraham is my father. That's huge.
It's huge.
Because if you're a typical American evangelical, there's a likelihood, in my experience, a strong likelihood that you have not actually thought about that, or that you have not really integrated that truth into the way that you think about yourself and your faith. And here's my big point. Once you begin to integrate that reality into your faith and into your life and mind, it will change the way you read Scripture, it will change your theology, and it will change your piety, the way you relate to God, and it will change your practice.
Right. The whole Bible begins to shrink, and you see one grand story here. In other words, we're not separating out the testaments and saying that the Old Testament was just for the Jews, the New Testament is for the church, the church is sort of plan B. No, what we're seeing here, what you just said, is that Abraham, here as our father, that means that it was always God's plan. Think of the initial promise. I'm making you the father of many Gentiles, many nations.
That's right.
It was always his plan to have one great family through Father Abraham.
It was never plan B. But that's why, for example, when people complain about so-called replacement theology, the whole premise of the objection is false.
Which isn't. There's no such thing as replacement. That's a false characterization.
Exactly. What we're talking about is the fact that God, from the very beginning, planned to save his elect among the Jews, and he planned to save his elect among the Gentiles, and he planned for them all to be together in the new covenant church. That's not replacement, right?
Right.
That's the fulfillment theology of the promise that God made to Abraham while he was, the same Abraham whom he saved.
While he was a Gentile. Right.
Without being circumcised, so that righteousness would be counted to them, that is to Gentiles as well. And to make him, this is Romans 4:12, the father of the circumcised, who are not merely circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. So that he says, Abraham is the father of Gentiles who believe, he's the father of Jews who are not merely outwardly physically circumcised, which can happen to any male. You don't have to be a believer to be circumcised, but you do have to be a believer to walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had when he was a Gentile.
Yeah. I mean, that's
extraordinary.
Yeah, what a marvelous plan. God raises up a Gentile, and then, of course, this nation comes out of him, right? The nation of Israel. Yeah. And then from that nation is the fulfillment, right, of what was promised to Abraham. When he was a Gentile, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And then the Gentiles, by preaching the gospel, will provoke the Jews to come back in. it's a marvelous plan.
There are believers, friends, people, brothers and sisters, who are looking for a rebuilding of the temple. And they're looking for a reinstitution of sacrifices. And Jesus is going to sit in this temple. He's going to watch Levitical priests offer sacrifices during the millennium for 1,000 years. And you go back to Romans 4:11 and 4:12, and you say, well, wait a minute. That all presupposes a kind of distinction that didn't exist right when Abraham came to faith, and that has expired with the fulfillment of the Mosaic Old Covenant. And now we're back to Jews and Gentiles together. The dividing wall, according to Ephesians 2, the dividing wall has been broken down. So if you have a
He's
made the two one. So if you have a theology that is all about rebuilding that wall between Jews and Gentiles, or if your interest in social justice causes you to rebuild ethnic walls, right?
Good point.
You have missed Paul's major point here in Romans 4, that yes, we do have our ethnicities, and yes, we do have our cultures, and yes, we do have our traditions and our languages and our tribes and all of that. But as we are drawn into the visible covenant community of God, now we are all united together in Christ in fulfillment. It's actually literally happening right now that this promise is being fulfilled, the promise that God made to Abraham from the very beginning that he would make him the father of many nations. It's actually happening.
Well, we'll have to stop there and come back to this next time. So much to learn from the book of Romans. But thanks today for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio.
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace.